Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 16, text number 237. Is it? Which one? 236. Is it 236 or 237? Not sure. Anyway, I think it's both because 236 doesn't have a purport. Okay. Okay, so I'll just read 236. And then we can all do it together. Savagyan Goranga Prabhu Chanitan Raman Siksha Rupe Kahatanya Asra Savacham. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient, he could understand Raghunath Das's mind. The Lord therefore instructed him with the following reassuring words. Okay, we'll do this responsibly. Stirahana gareyo nahai ho vatula Krame krame paya loka bhava sindukula Stirahana gareyo nahai ho vatula Krame krame payaloka bhava sindhu kula Stirahana gareya nahaya vatula Krame krame payaloka bhava sindhu kula I think this is the wrong verse. I think it's 238. Do you know which one it is? I'm pretty sure. Huh?
It's the next one.
It's the next one, okay. 238. Sorry about that.
That's what he told me.
Huh?
That's what he said at the beginning.
He said that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Why didn't you say it?
He said it at the beginning.
Yeah, but I didn't get it. You should have told me more again.
That's right.
Anyway, it's okay. Okay. Makata varagya nakara loka dekana. Yata yoga vishaya bunja anashaktahana. Makata varagya nakara loka dekana. Yata yoga vishaya bunja anashaktahana
Yata yoga vishaya bunja anashaktahana
Anyone else? Makata Vairagya. Monkey renunciation. Nakara.
Do not.
Loka.
To the people.
Dekana.
Showing up.
Yata Yogya. As it is befitting. Vishaya. Material things. Bunja. Enjoy. Anashakta.
Without attachment.
Pana.
Being.
Translation. You should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciate. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. Please repeat. You should not make yourself a show bottle devotee
and become a false renunciant.
For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Makata Vairagya, indicating the false renunciation, is very important in this verse. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in commenting on this word, points out that monkeys make an external show of renunciation by not accepting clothing and by living naked in the forest. In this way, they consider themselves renunciants, but actually are very busy enjoying sense gratification with dozens of female monkeys. Such renunciation is called Makata Vairagya, the renunciation of a monkey. One cannot be really renounced until one actually becomes disgusted with material activity and sees it as a stumbling block to spiritual advancement. Renunciation should not be falgu temporary, but should exist throughout one's life. Temporary renunciation or monkey renunciation is like the renunciation one feels at a cremation ground. When a man takes a dead body to the crematorium, he sometimes thinks, "This is the final end of the body. Why am I working so hard day and night?" Such sentiments naturally arise in the mind of any man who goes to a crematorial ghat. However, as soon as he returns from the cremation grounds, he again engages in material activity for sense enjoyment. This is called smashana vairagya or makata vairagya. In order to render service to the Lord, one may accept necessary things. If one lives in this way, he may actually become renounced. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-108, it is said, Yavata syat sa nirvaha svikuryat tavad atavit adikye nyunyatayancha chyavate paramatata. The bare necessities of life must be accepted, but one should not superfluously increase his necessities, nor should they be unnecessarily decreased. One should simply accept what is necessary to help one advance spiritually. In his Durgama Sangamani, Sri Jiva Goswami comments that the word svanirvaha actually means svasva bhakti nirvaha. The experienced devotee would accept only those material things that would help him render service to the Lord. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-256, Magata Vairagya or Falgu Vairagya is explained as follows. Prapanchakataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mamukshubi parityago vairagyam falgu kachite. Whatever is favorable for the rendering of service to the Lord should be accepted and should not be rejected as a material thing. Yukta Vairagya or befitting renunciation is thus explained. Anasakta Shavishaya Nyataham Upiyanjata Nirvanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchite. Things should be accepted for the Lord's service and not for one's personal sense gratification. If one accepts something without attachment and accepts it because it is related to Krishna, one's renunciation is called Yukta Vairagya. Since Krishna is the absolute truth, whatever is accepted for his service is also the absolute truth. The word Makata Vairagya is used by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate so-called Vaishnavas who dress themselves in loincloths trying to imitate Sri Rupa Goswami. Such people carry a bead bag and chant, but at heart they are always thinking about getting women and money. Unknown to others, these Makata Vairagyas maintain women but externally present themselves as renunciants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much opposed to these Makata Vairagyas or pseudo-Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. So, Om Agyan Tamandasya Agyananyanan Shalakaya Chakturam and Tamyena Tasmaya Shugabhen Maha Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Vishnu Vukale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tsanamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravarna Charne Nebhasishuni Vidi Piskajadastani. So this is Lord Chaitanya speaking to Raghunath Das Goswami, and Raghunath Goswami is, as we know, he's a great devotee. He's actually Rati Manjari, and he wrote many wonderful books. He's one of the most important disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for the sake of enlightening the conditioned souls, he is being instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to not be a false renunciate, because he's totally renounced from material attachments, but for the demonstration of this particular important point in devotional service, that one should not prematurely become renounced, because this can cause havoc in devotional life. That one should go step by step, and one should have the goal of being completely renounced, but at the same time, Krishna consciousness is a gradual process, and it takes time. It may take a long time, because we're conditioned souls, and attachment to material things is the reason we've come to the material world, to enjoy the material body. And so to give up this attachment is a gradual process, but it's definitely achieved by practicing devotional service sincerely and wholeheartedly, and not being a cheater. But if one is a cheater, then one will land oneself in trouble, because you cannot cheat Krishna, because Krishna is in your heart and he knows your thoughts, and he will expose you if you try to cheat. So Lord Chaitanya made a prime example of Juna Haridas. We know the story. If you don't, Juna Haridas was a devotee. He was a good devotee. He was a sannyasi. And he inadvertently made a small mistake. Well, Lord Chaitanya didn't think it was a small mistake, but because it's considered that offenses within the mind or thoughts, you're not culpable. You're not punished for thoughts that you have. But because he was in the renounced order of life, in this particular pastime, he had a lustful thought, apparently, even though it's not explained like that. If you read the pastime, it doesn't actually say he had a lustful thought, but Prabhupada says elsewhere that he had a lustful thought. Even though Madhavi was an older woman. And so when Lord Chaitanya was offered prasadam, he was enjoying the prasadam. I can't remember who offered him the prasadam. Does anyone remember? He was offered prasadam, and he was eating it, And he was exclaiming how nice the rice was. So he asked, where did the rice come from? And he was told that actually Chota Haridas had gotten the rice. And had gotten it from Madhavi. And she was the half of the 3.5 confidential devotees of Lord Chaitanya, which is hard to understand because he says there was Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, and one other one. Huh? Who was the other one? Who? Siki Mahiti. Yeah, you have to speak up. I guess I'm going deaf. And the half was Madhavi. So the rice was begged by Chota Haridas from Madhavi. Madhavi was this pure devotee who would cook wonderful preparations for Lord Chaitanya, many different things. And she expressed her love through her cooking. And some of the things that she made were made out of Ganges mud and ginger, different things. But Lord Chaitanya, when he was told that Chota Haridas had gotten the rice from Madhavi, he immediately got up and left without saying a word. And he's told Swarup Damodar, don't let Chota Haridas come here again. So that was like a thunderbolt to Chota Haridas. He was very, very depressed because his life and soul was actually Lord Chaitanya. But for the sake of establishing religious principles, Lord Chaitanya made an example of him. And he banned him from getting his association. And all the confidential servants and associates of Lord Chaitanya begged Lord Chaitanya, please take him back. He's heartbroken. He didn't really do anything wrong. But Lord Chaitanya wouldn't listen. He wasn't interested. He said, no, I won't take him back. And this went on for a year. And they repeatedly asked Lord Chaitanya, please take him back. But he wouldn't take him back. And then he disappeared. And actually he went to Prayag, the confluence of the Ganges, and he committed suicide. And Lord Chaitanya, he expressed the sentiment that he's done the right thing. But unbeknownst to everybody else, he actually came to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, you know, he sang for Lord Chaitanya. And then on another occasion, these intimate devotees of the Lord, they heard Chota Haridas singing. So Chota Haridas, he had actually gone back to be an eternal associate of Krishna in the spiritual world. But this example was there so that we should understand the implications of being a false renunciate, or indeed even trying to cheat Krishna in any way whatsoever. There's severe repercussions. It is better to be honest. Even if you're fallen, it is better to be honest because Krishna accepts your honesty. So if you're honestly fallen, even if you can't follow strictly, you can still get Krishna's mercy. Of course, you cannot be like the Christians who say that Christ has died for me, it doesn't matter what I do. So there are certain parameters that we have to fall within. But there's an example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada didn't really talk about. I never heard of a lecture where he mentioned this particular. It's a whole chapter. It's quite a big story about Yayati. So King Yayati, he was, you probably know the story, but it's very interesting how it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And even though Yayati was attached to sex life, because he went after another man's wife, he was cursed to become old. No, not another man's wife. Some other than his wife, another woman. He was cursed to become old. He didn't want to be old because he wanted to enjoy this young wife. So he was very upset. So he begged his sons, Yadu. Yadu said, no, I can't give you my youth, because if I did that, it would be irreligious, because then I wouldn't, having gone through the Grihastha ashram, enjoyed my senses, I wouldn't be able to become renounced, so that would be false renunciation, so I'm not going to give you my youth. He asked a couple of other sons, they didn't want to do it. And then his youngest son was Puru, and he voluntarily, without being asked actually, Prabhupada says that he was like the perfect son, the perfect disciple, because he understood the mood of his father, who was accepted as his guru, and he offered his youth. So Yayati got his youth, he enjoyed with his wife. What was her name? Samishta?
Samishta.
Huh? Samishta. Devayana. So he enjoyed, and eventually he became sick of this repeated enjoying sex life. And he realized that, you know, he was just chewing the tube, and it was going on forever, and he wasn't getting anywhere. So he gave it up, and he became very devoted. So, because Srila Prabhupada never really talked about this story very much, maybe he didn't want us to focus on this particular pastime. But it's there in the Bhagavatam. So even if you're a fallen Grihastha, because Prabhupada was very adamant that we should follow the four regulative principles, only having sex life to be getting children. But in this instance, we can see that even if one is fallen, if one is honest, because within his heart, Yayati, he was praying to be able to give up sense gratification. And then in the 11th canto, there's a verse that has become famous since it was discovered, since the 11th canto came out, which is a lot of people's favorite verse. Shato shadamakatasu nibbana sabakameshu vedatmadukatmakam kaman prajago hyanishvaraha. It's a very nice verse, and it's Krishna speaking. So Krishna's saying to Uddhava that even if one sometimes falls down into sense gratification, one should not give up the process of devotional service. He should sincerely repent, knowing that all sense gratification ends in a miserable result. But he should remain happy, and he should continue serving me. So this is a very nice verse, that even if sometimes we don't come up to the proper standard, we can still make progress, and we shouldn't become overly depressed. Of course, we should be very upset with ourselves and chastise ourselves, repent, but at the same time, we shouldn't give up. So that's the overall message of Krishna consciousness, is that if you carry on somehow or other, it's coming to Mangalati. This is an austerity. And so I'm not criticizing anybody, because you probably all get up at home early, whatever. But, you know, following the process, getting up early and chanting japa, even if we don't chant attentively, Krishna says, that you're still, the rope of love ties your heart to Krishna's heart. So if you spend 2 hours a day chanting 16 rounds, you sacrifice that time, even if you can't chant attentively, because it's not easy to chant attentively. The mind is very flickering, that's what Krishna says. But after practice, one can actually chant properly. Not that I can, but it is possible. But if we give up the chanting because we think we're no good at chanting, then we will never get anywhere, because the chanting is the medicine. So it's just like, maybe I've given this example before. Madam Matisse probably heard this. Anyway. So when you take penicillin, you have to take the whole course, because if you stop halfway through it, your infection will come back. So similarly, when we're infected with this material body, this material disease, we cannot give up chanting, even if we think we're not getting anywhere, because ultimately the chanting is our only hope, and the chanting will ultimately cure us of the disease of material attachment. So we should be very, like Prabhupada said, the chanting the 16 rounds is the most important instructions of the Guru, because the holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. So we should never give up chanting. But at the same time, we have to be honest. And honesty is, you know, it's the only good quality left in this day and age. But we have to be honest about where we're at. And we've seen that in the past, so many devotees' lives have been ruined because they have artificially become renounced and they've fallen down. We have the example of Vishnu Jan, the very powerful devotee, very charismatic, attracted so many people to Krishna consciousness. But according to the story, that when Vishnu Jan was in Mayapur, there was a conversation with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was talking about Chota Haridas, and he was explaining how he committed suicide. And Vishnu Jan heard that, and then he completely disappeared. No one ever saw him again, although somebody saw him on the train to Calcutta very soon after that. And he told them that don't take sannyas. It's very difficult to be a sannyasi. So, but it seems that nobody ever saw him again. So even though he was so powerful, but he apparently, he had a fall down. There's one devotee, Yogesh Chandra, who saw Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he said, Tamal said that he had a fall down. So, you know, it's being a sannyasi is not easy. So Chota Haridas, he of course, he was an eternal associate, and he regained his spiritual body. And Prabhupada actually, you know, said after Vishnujan had left from that conversation, he said, but, you know, I'm not like Lord Chaitanya. I'm more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. But Vishnujan didn't hear that. And when sannyasis fell down, like sometimes, you know, they did fall down because they were immature when they took sannyas. They really believed they could be sannyasis, but maybe they weren't being honest, or they were just too immature, who knows. Maybe they wanted the maha plate, or they wanted everyone to pay their obeisances to them. So it's better to be, you have to be honest if you're a fallen grihastha. But you shouldn't be too attached. So this is, but we should, whether you're a grihastha or a sannyasi, it doesn't matter. The main thing that matters is whether you try to use everything in Krishna's service. We should use everything in Krishna's service. So everything is there, and everything can be used in Krishna's service. Prabhupada would say one time, you can even use the atom bomb in Krishna's service. Do you know how he said that you could use that? Anyone know? He said, you get all the demons and you put them on an island and you drop an atom bomb on them. Where did he say it? I heard it. I can't remember where he said it. You don't believe? No, I'm telling you. No, there aren't a lot of things like that. It's the only time I heard him say that. I heard it. It's not a conversation. Yeah. It's like I read, and I can swear on the Bhagavad time I read another thing that Prabhupada said that people don't like, they don't accept. The two things. One is that if you grow your hair longer than 2 weeks, you shouldn't have a seeker. I read that. Yeah, people don't believe me, but I read it. And he also said during Mangalati, you shouldn't chant the name of the deities and you shouldn't chant Hari Haraya Namaha. So I don't tell people that usually, what I'm saying, yeah. But I read it. I swear on the Bhagavad time, I read it. Huh? Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, so anyway, it's not a big thing, I don't think. But so yeah, using everything in Krishna's service and trying to be genuine devotees in whatever ashram we're in is really the message, to be honest and not be a false renunciate. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. You have a question? Two questions.
Ladies first.
Okay.
Ladies first.
Ladies first. Mother Sukada. Oh wow, that's a lot of questions. That's good.
I was just struck by really the mercy of Srila Prabhupada.
You got it too close.
I was struck by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, because here Junior Haridas was banished from the association of Lord Chaitanya. But when it happened with devotees in Srila Prabhupada's movement, he would just encourage him to take the grihastha ashram and keep serving. And he was actually very sad.
You mean if they fell down from sannyas?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there were many, many instances of that.
Yeah.
Because really, you know, so many of the devotees who took sannyas so early, they were so young.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't really understand what that meant, a lifetime of...
Same with the gurus.
Of celibacy, yeah, it's true.
They didn't know what they were getting into.
And Prabhupada was just working with what he had, you know, kind of a monkey army, you know, so...
Yeah.
You know, Prabhupada just appreciated the service, and he just wanted the devotees to continue serving in whatever ashram they found themselves. I think that's how he encouraged.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada was supremely kind, supremely merciful,
yeah.
Unbelievably so.
That's a good point. Madam Mati.
Yeah,
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhu.
Thank
you for your nice class. Not having close, close here. 1.5 inch.
4 inches.
4 inches. Okay, here. You're mentioning about how devotees didn't know about what it means to take sannyas. They were sincere, they wanted to do it, and they did a lot of service during that time. And so, but they weren't able to continue. And so fine, take grihastha ashram. You're also making the point that how we should repent when we do things that we're meant to do. When we deviate. So in situation, an example of like somebody who's taken sannyas in a very sincere way, but the reality realized that it's not. So I guess repentance would be there. Is the repentance, does the repentance have to be all throughout your life? Why I'm asking this question, as you know, I give the example of sannyas, like what you're saying. But you know, you perform your grihastha duties and you move on, so to speak, with your life.
Yeah.
I'm asking this regards to devotees who have taken initiation, mm-hmm. and they were sincere while they took the initiation, that they could chant 16 rounds.
Yeah.
And the reality is that was just like sannyasi, realized that it's just hard for them, almost like impossible, they can't do it. So the repentance should be all their life, or to accept that, okay, I can maybe chant at this stage of my life, I can chant one round, and rather than always beating themselves down, mm-hmm. For not being able to chant 16 rounds, but to accept that this is where I'm at, I can chant one round, and I will try to increase 2 rounds, and then eventually 4 rounds. Is that fine? How could we help them? Because I know a few devotees that I personally talked to them.
Yeah.
And I guess I want to have your input. My preaching tends to be more like, okay, just don't worry. You just start from where you can, mm-hmm. and just chant one round, and then try to make it up, and try to increase and. So yeah, I want some input as far as the guilt aspect, the repentance, or you know.
Well, personally, I would say that if you make them feel too bad, they'll give up altogether. So it's better to encourage them to chant something. But you know, we know what Prabhupada said about people who didn't chant their rounds. He was very heavy indeed. But, you know, we're not Prabhupada, so maybe like Prabhupada was more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, maybe we're more merciful than Prabhupada. I shouldn't say it. But, you know, Lord Chaitanya was God and Prabhupada was an express thing. But I think that, you know, if they chant, if they still believe in Krishna and they still chant some japa, they're not lost. They're still on the path to some degree. But I don't know if they should lament the whole life. I mean, I think like Krishna says that they should remain happy and worship me and realize they made a mistake. They were immature when they decided to get initiated. They didn't know what it meant. But they shouldn't give up. They should keep trying, and you know, they should strive to come to that level of chanting 16 rounds a day, one day. But I mean, Sukada, what do you think? Let's say Sukada.
I was going to say that, you know, there are circumstances sometimes when people can't. Let's say you just have a baby, or you have 2 other little babies, and so it's hard to chant, but there's always a way And maybe people, you know, when you're preaching to people, you can just point it out, you know, other ways. Like, you know, if you, 4 half hours during the day, even if you're cooking, you're cutting up vegetables, you can time yourself, chant for half an hour. There's no hard and fast rule for chanting these holy names, but it seems to me that the understanding of the benefits of chanting, you know, will really help people to chant, because oftentimes people are working so hard for economic development, you know, and that's why they can't chant. But actually, by chanting, those things come about, you know, those things come about without so much endeavor and fruitive activity. So I understand that sometimes you have to, you know, you can't say, oh, well, you're not a devotee because you're not chanting all your rounds, but at the same time, it seems like we really have to encourage each other. Mm-hmm. Everything that comes from following that vow, all the blessings you get from following it, even if you're not necessarily, you know, fingering the beads, maybe you can chant on the way to work, or, you know, when you break it down into 4 half hours a day, it doesn't seem like such a impossible task. So I just wanted to throw that in the mix here.
Just send them along to Sukhada, the ones who are having a hard time. You want to respond? Let her respond. Madam Ati.
I think, at least with the devotees that I know, what I see is not so much that they don't have the time. It's like they don't have the taste, or they don't have the something that they were able to do. Again, giving the example of sannyas, they just can't do it. So it seems like they just can't do it. And the verse that comes to my mind is where Krishna says in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that if you can't remember me all the time, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, which we do. And if you can't do that, then do the next best thing is to work for me. And I see that these devotees, and I think there are a lot of those devotees, that they can work for Krishna. They can work 24 hours for Krishna. They work better than I can work for Krishna. I may be able to chant my rounds, and I'm able to do this or do that and have some regulated program, but they just can't do it. But they're happy to work 24 hours in service of Krishna. I guess that's the comment I have to make, and maybe eventually they will come to the platform of
I mean, as long as they keep associating with devotees, but if devotees shun them and ban them from coming to the temple because they don't chant their japa, but we should be kind and understanding, and, you know, people have fall downs, and maybe they last for a few, or they give up for a few years, maybe in a couple of years they'll come back and start chanting again.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
I would like to just comment, coming from my circumstances, this community is so variegated.
You got it too close, yeah.
This community is so different that when I needed support, I mean, I had asthma, like lung cancer, for 8 years. And maybe and I'm here to blame for not approaching people, asking for help, probably. But it's very hard struggle when you are going through so much. I was a single mother. I was working for bare minimum wages. And if you, again, I'm here to blame. I'm not helping those people who are there right now. So I wish there was a little bit nicer support system, organized. And there were so many things lacking in me. I was not organized, and many different things. But I just wish there was something that would make easier, and it will be great. Somebody thinks about it. Because right now we have prasadam, but it's not vegan. 25% of our community is vegan. Small things like that. It will be very great to somebody takes this up and gives the guidance to make to help those women who need help in chanting their rounds, because they have so much on their plate. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Very nice class.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Someone else? Anybody else? Honey? Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, I may be repeating what other people have said, but the topic is obviously really popular and in need of being aired openly with everyone. But as Srila Prabhupada describes Bhagavan, it's just simply aversion to following the process. That's where it starts. Very subtle. But then these examples that you cited, the reaction or the punishment is extremely severe. But then you recommend that one should remain happy. And then we're supposed to regret and repent, which is a self-discouragement in a way. And so it's hard for me to equate remaining happy when you're miserable. It's hard for me to relate. Maybe you can make a comment about that.
Well, you shouldn't become hopeless. You just, you know, get over it. You fell down, you made a mistake, and you move on. You don't just lament your whole life and give up and think it's impossible, because, you know, it's just we're conditioned souls and we're trying to become devotees, and sometimes we fall back and we take a step forward or two steps back and three steps forward. But, you know, we have to look at it in the realm of eternity. You know, in eternity, you know, this is a temporary fall down just for a short period of time. And that, you know, our real goal is to become perfect and to go back to Godhead and to, you know, become pure devotees. And it's just a little fall down. You know, we shouldn't take it too seriously. As long as we don't defend devotees.
Yes, that's it.
If we offend devotees, then we really will
find
it.
My meaning is to confess how I've fallen, you know, that, because it's subtle. It's constantly falling, constantly. And by the time someone grossly falls, then unfortunately there's a habit in our current behavioral pattern to condemn the person, and then it's very difficult for them to be happy or properly repent, because
we're not supposed to condemn anybody.
That's my comment on that. And the other side is the concept, the essential what you're talking about is the cheating. And so in the essence of cheating is that when someone cheats, they cheat themselves,
right?
And
yeah,
then they try to cover it by cheating further.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Last question, last comment.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Guru. Just a couple of things. I'm thinking of how Krishna preaches in the Bhagavad Gita. On one hand, he gives the ultimate, you know, surrender all varieties of religion, and just surrender to me. But at the same time, as Mother Madhavati was saying, he said, oh, you can't do this and do that, do that. Mm-hmm. He provides a connection at whatever level we can hook in. And then I was thinking of in our need to be genuine, we can sometimes identify with our weaknesses. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was saying that. Don't, you know, we shouldn't get caught in that. And I think of that one verse in the 18th chapter, what Krishna says, if you become conscious of me, you will cross over all obstacles by my grace. However, if you do not and act through false ego, then you'll be lost. So whatever our level of Krishna consciousness and our attempt to be genuine, if that's where we place our focus, then we'll be rightly situated. I know for me, I tend to remember all my mistakes, and so when I remember them, it's painful. But if I dwell on them, it interferes with my enthusiasm to serve and to do what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting balance.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.